In the grand theater of life, we all seek a comeback, a resurgence, a rekindling of our inner fire. But how do we spark that flame? Welcome to Reignite Resilience. This is not just another podcast. This is a journey, a venture into the heart of human spirit, the power of resilience, and the art of reigniting our passions.
Welcome back to another episode of Reignite Resilience. I am your co-host, Natalie Davis, and I am so excited to be back with you all today. Welcome, Pam. How are you?
I'm good, Natalie. How are you?
I am amazing. I am amazing. Just living the dream, you know, that's what they say.
Yes, we are. Every day we tell ourselves that, right?
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I want to just dive in for our episode today. This actually came up as a result of a conversation that my daughter and I had. And so for those in the listener world, I have two fabulous adult daughters, and my oldest daughter was listening to an episode. I think it was an episode that we talked about, you know, just how we would discipline our kids and making sure that we're feeding ourselves with positive information and not speaking negatively to ourselves. And she heard the episode. She picked up the phone and she called me. She goes, "That's not true. That was not my reality. You did that with Elizabeth. You did not do that with me." And so I said, "You know what, Karen? You're right. I didn't do that with you because I was not introduced to a lot of the practices that I currently have and have incorporated in my life today." And so I reached out to you, Pam. I was like, we probably should do an episode on who we are, like how we're showing up in each season of our lives because it changes. Yeah. So shout out to Karen for calling me on the carpet. She's absolutely right. I did not self-justify. I said, "You're correct. And I apologize. You didn't get that from me, but I didn't know."
No. And we didn't know. And it's so funny that you say this because, I mean, I hear my middle daughter and my son all the time, "Mom, you do have a favorite and it's Noelle. It's not us." And I'm like, hold on a second.
Yes.
Because I think about the age I was, where I was financially, what I had going on in my world through each of their progressions in childhood, because they're each 7 years apart. I was a totally different person between my oldest, who's in her 30s, and my youngest, who's 18. Exactly. So it's like, it wasn't that she was my favorite. I was just a different person at that time, and different with Gwen, my middle child, and different with Dylan. And so it was just funny. It's like, no, parents don't have favorites.
Yes.
We just are different because of the age, the timing, just everything.
The season. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when our kids approach us and they say, "Oh, well, you parent us completely different." You're absolutely right. I totally 100% did. And I will take ownership of that piece of it. But a lot of that, like you said, Pam, a lot of that is because of who I was in that season.
Absolutely.
In that season. So I thought we would spend a little bit of time on that because unless she had called me out on it, I would not have reflected on it. And we often talk about, like, we are heading into business planning season here in the next couple of weeks. And I love this time of year. It's where everyone gets together and they set their goals, or hopefully if you're not, I invite you to do that, but you're setting your goals for 2024. And one thing that I hear a lot of people share, most recently I heard it from Grant Cardone, is when you're setting these goals, who is the person that's showing up when you meet that goal? Because you can't be the person that you are today if you're going to achieve the success and goals that you have set for yourself down the road. And so when you're on the planning side of it, we think about that, right? Like the person that I am today cannot be the person that I'm going to be in the future.
Exactly.
Your circle is going to look different. How you live life and your lifestyle is going to look different. And maybe even some of your beliefs could change and that may look different. And so we look at it on the planning side. When we're in it, when we're actually experiencing it, we don't take a lot of time to reflect on that. So an opportunity yet again for us to be vulnerable. We're going to just dissect and pull apart our layers so that you all can pull apart your own layers.
Yay. I always love this when we just throw it all out there and just discover about ourselves. I love it. Yeah, that is such a good point that when we are setting these goals for ourselves, one of the things that I've always done is I think about my goals and then, and I've talked about it before on an earlier podcast, I create a vision statement, and the statement is what I want my life to look like when I reach that goal. And if we can figure that out, when people say, "Well, I want to make this much money." Okay. well, what will your life look like if you do make that money? Tell me vividly what every aspect of your life will look like. What difference will it make? Yeah. And I think that's important when we're talking about goals, because sometimes we set goals because we think we have to.
Right.
And oftentimes it's got to be a reflection on, what do I really want my life to look like? Uh-huh. Am I setting this goal for myself, or am I setting this goal because it's what I think I have to do?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and then you couple that with all of the things that you actually do to mm-hmm. achieve these goals, right? When you mm-hmm. look at the goal that you set for yourself, when you are able to get in that space and realize this is truly a goal that is mine and it honors me and where I want to be and what I want to do in my life. And then couple that with, here are the action steps that I need to take in order to, yeah. to reach that goal or to attain that goal. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those action items, you know, some are application to how you're showing up, your skill set, the things that you do on a daily and weekly basis. Absolutely. And mm-hmm. a lot of the other pieces are the internal personal development work, right? So you have yeah. the professional development that needs to take mm-hmm. place, and then the personal development that needs to take place. And so yeah. there is so much shift and change that's happening internally for an individual as they're striving for that next mile marker or big yeah. goal that they've set for themselves, or even if it's just a small goal along the way. There's yeah. so much shift and change that's happening within individuals.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's interesting, because if you think about that, when you said milestones or goals, yeah. oftentimes what happens is we will set these goals and then we reach it and we stop doing the things that we had changed in our life to get to that space. So an example would be when I was training for my half marathon. Yes. I was running, what was it, 5 days a week and doing strength training a day a week. So it was 6 days a week I was prepping for this. I ran the race. I'm sad to say I've not run since then. And the race was last July, not mm-hmm. this past July, but a year or so ago.
A year ago, yes. So we're talking 16 months ago, July.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so I set this goal for myself and I loved how healthy I was and I felt yeah. great. And then I was like, cool, reached my goal. I'm done. Yes. Now on to the next thing. And exactly. so I think it's James Clear that talks about, rather than setting that specific goal, set the identity of what you want to be.
Yes.
So if I want to be a healthy person, if I want to be financially free, fill in the blank of whatever that identity is that you want to have. And then work back from that. Okay, now what are the things that I need to start doing on a daily basis to get to that identity, so that now I'm the identity, I'm a runner. And yes. I'm running so I can run a race and then I'm done. It's, I'm a runner because I want to be healthy. And so that's where we're at. So I think that's yeah. an important thing for people to think about when they're trying to make this shift. And it's an identity shift of, what do I want to become?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so when you look at this, and this, when we talk about like our true identity, I think a lot of times we don't give ourselves grace in understanding that that identity will change. Just like the example that you said, when yeah. you were training for the half marathon, you're a runner, right? Like I am a runner, and you have to wholeheartedly yeah. embrace that. For any marathon runners out in the world, kudos to you. My yeah. experience with running was exactly the same. I signed up for a half marathon. I was a runner in that season. Mm-hmm. I am not a runner today. I am happy to say I completed it, checked the box, but it's not something that I want to keep as part of myself moving forward every day.
Yeah.
I do not get the thrill, the joy, the excitement mm-hmm. of getting up and running every morning. It's mm-hmm. not something that excites me. And yeah. it also doesn't fill me. But in that season, as we're training for that race, we were runners, right? So that's yes, a piece of
absolutely.
It. Our identity was completely that. And that was true. Yeah. But where we want to make sure that we are giving ourselves grace is when that changes, right? So it's yeah. not that you're beating yourself up. I don't beat myself up at all today because I'm not a runner. I'm not a runner. That's not something that I want yeah. to have in this season yeah. of my life. It looks completely different. So yeah. my avatar, who I am, how I show up, is completely different. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And so I'd love for us to talk a little bit about our identity and kind of the progression over the years, because yeah. we both have changed. We've known each other for 10 years, and I know I have changed in 10 years. I am yes. definitely, if I wish sometimes I could go back and look at who I was 10 years ago, definitely a different person. I was still married, definitely not who I am today. Yeah. And so it's just interesting how, and you and I are have always been on this self-growth thing forever. It's something I got from my dad because he's always been that person. And so we're constantly evolving and changing. And I know that this podcast in itself has started to change my identity. And I know that next year, my identity will probably be even something different. And
100%.
That's okay. So how do we know what our true identity is in this moment?
Yeah, well, I think that it's twofold, right? Okay. When you're looking at it, like when we look at our true identity and then making sure that we embrace it, right? Like, because sometimes we try to dismiss it or create a facade of an identity and show up as something different. For me, my story is the same, Pam, and I can even go back beyond that. What prompted us to even record this episode, when I think about the conversation that I had with my daughter, just as a point of reference, the episode that she called me out on, quote unquote, was the episode that we shared, you know, where we start to feed ourselves negative thoughts, right? And so if I heard my girls, what I shared, something along the lines, and if I heard my girls say something negative about themselves, I would have them, you know, share with me 3 to 5 positive things about themselves. And so my daughter called in, my oldest daughter, she called and she said, "You didn't do that with me." And I said, "You're absolutely right. I didn't do that with her." And I can go back. For me, my personal growth journey, my true personal growth journey did not begin until 2011. That's when I got on this path. And just a few days ago, as you all know, I just recently moved. So just a few days ago, in unpacking one of the boxes, I unpacked a box that had the very first vision board that I did, and that was in 2011. And so when we're looking at our identity, when you said like creating that persona or creating that narrative or that script of who we are, mine came about in the form of a vision board, right? Okay. Here are the things that I want to do in my life. Here is how I want to show up. This is what I want to do in terms of health and wellness and fitness in my life. How I want to feed and nurture my body. What's that going to look like? What are we looking at in terms of personal care? Prior to 2011, I never took the time to reflect on what I wanted in my life. And you can think of that in terms of goals or what my life actually felt like and looked like. I never really took that time to slow down and truly dive into that. So for me, the vision board was the first thing that prompted that. And I think that that was actually, if I were going to look at the starting point for my personal journey and the transition and growth and evolution of me and who I am today, I would pinpoint back to that very first vision board. I'm so excited that I held on to it. It may sound like I'm a pack rat. I'm not. I just held on to that because it's important to me. But I'm glad that I was able to do, to have that, to look at it. Prior to that point, though, and I was very much an adult at that point in time, I was still living my life, though, to fulfill the dreams of other people, the dreams that other people had set out, right? And it went from my parents to my ex-husband to what I thought my kids wanted to my in-laws, right? It's whatever you fill in the blank with. Well, I'm a mom now, so the expectation of being a mom is this. And so then I strive to be fill in the blank, whatever that is, that narrative of what a quote-unquote mom looks like to me at that time. Yeah. When I was growing up, the same was true with my parents. My parents said, "This is our expectations of you." And so I worked for that. They set my goals. I completed those goals. When I lost both of my parents, that's when I realized and had that lost sense, right? How am I showing up in the world if no one's going to tell me what to do? Being able to reflect on that now, I immediately leaned on my ex-husband to tell me what to do, right? It was like, oh my gosh, well, if they're not going to tell me what to do, then he'll tell me what to do. And I know how to show up. At least I'll know how to show up in my family. And so I was a completely different person in each of those chapters. And the reason I was a completely different person is because my identity was 100% grounded in other people's expectations and goals that were set for me on my behalf.
That is such a powerful thing, because as I was listening to you, I thought about kind of my journey from when I was young. So I lived at home. The expectation was I went to college, and the expectation was you graduate from college. Then I got married and expectation, now you have kids. Yes. And I don't think my journey to start discovering who I was until my divorce. because like you, it was like when I was young, I was living up to my parents' expectations. When I went to college, it was again, my parents' expectations. Yes. Then I married and I could not show up for myself. It was my, the expectation was, is that you take care of the house, you take care of the kids and you need to work.
Yes.
And so that was, so I had gotten to a really pivotal point, and it was actually when I took that ninja installation, and there were, I don't remember what exactly it was that Larry said, but I went home that night and I looked in the mirror and I really was in a place where I was like, I have no idea who I am. I don't mm-hmm. know what my identity is. And so I get divorced, and then it was all of a sudden, it was a journey to discover who I was.
Yeah.
And so absolutely. I think I've just been on that journey since then, yes. just trying to figure out like, who am I? Like, what do I enjoy doing? Cause like you, it's like, I didn't know how to be authentic. I didn't know how to be authentic. I didn't know how to have fun.
Yes.
I felt like I had to show up in a certain way or I was going to get in trouble for whatever I said or did or, you know, fill in the blank. So
yeah,
so very, so yeah, it's been an incredible journey, but I just think about with you as well, the power that other people have over our identity.
Mm-hmm.
And I
especially
think
those of us that are like people pleasers, and that's me.
Yeah.
Like I have historically been a people pleaser, like whatever absolutely. I can do to make everyone else around me happy. And then the light switch, like I flipped the light switch on, right? Someone else didn't do it. I flipped the light switch on and I was like, wait a minute. I am like entering a whole different quarter and I've never asked myself, what makes me happy? What makes me happy? What do I want to do? The question still makes me a little nervous, but I'm working on it. I'm getting there.
We are. We're still in progress. And it's so funny because I think about people that I've had in my life that I just like absolutely admired. I was like, oh my gosh, I just love you. Yes. Every one of them had the personality type that told you how it was.
Yes.
Like good or bad.
Yes.
I knew that if I went to them, they're just going to tell me whatever. They're not going to tell me what I want to hear. They're just going to tell you what's on their mind. They're going to be completely authentic. I love that. And I think it's one of those things where I just envy their ability to just not care about what anybody thinks about them.
Exactly.
This is who I am. Love me or not. It just is. This is who it is. So I think that's why I am attracted to people like that. So I love it.
Agreed. Like you just being able to live life without that fear of judgment. I can attribute a great deal of my life to not showing up authentically because I had that fear of judgment. What will people think? How will it impact whatever future decision that I'm going to make? Yeah. And it robs me of the opportunity to truly embrace the moments that I'm in, right? And so again, when you look back at, well, what opportunities did I miss or what opportunities did I sever for myself because I didn't show up authentically in terms of who I was during that season. And so it is liberating to be on this journey. I love just how I have continued to evolve.
Yeah.
Especially when we're looking at our identity. And ironically enough, like the connection between like the goal setting that we just talked about, for me, it's the vision board piece of it. If it's vision boards, if it's goal setting, whatever that looks like, the thing that keeps you motivated and driven to continue moving forward, whatever that may be for you. For me, it's my vision board and goal setting, which is probably why I enjoy business planning so much. But I love that with these tangible items that I set in terms of expectations for achievements for myself, that there's this tremendous evolution, this internal evolution that accompanies that. That's the magical piece that, you know, I didn't expect. And again, it's not until you have those honest people in your lives, like your kids or your parents,
call you out.
Honest. Like, that was not you in 2007. Just FYI, I'm like, yeah, you're right.
I don't know who you're talking about, but that wasn't you. I love it. Well, and you and I at the beginning, I asked you a question before we started recording. Where do you show up right now, the most authentic, true self?
Like, today.
Where is that?
Mm-hmm. Today, this moment, as we're recording it, I would say that I'm probably 95% authentic with my close friends and family. I'd say 95%. I would say I'm probably 90% authentic in terms of work in that life, like if I'm looking at my professional life. But in my personal life, I think I'm about 95% authentic. That's today.
today?
Had you asked me that question 12, 18 months ago, I think that number was more of like an 80, maybe 85%, maybe even 75. Actually, I would say 75, maybe 80%.
Yeah.
I filtered a lot of who I was and how I was showing up in every space.
Yeah.
In every single space.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a big aha for me. I'm still not 100% authentic in who I am. I mean, there are some things in a professional setting where I hear people say things and I'm like, that is not an educated opinion, but okay. I think it, I don't say it.
Those are those inside voices.
It is my inside voice and my face likes to express it. So sometimes people say it and my face will tell you exactly what I'm thinking, but my mouth will not. So I love it, but I'm not showing up 100% who I am. And I have the thing that has really led me to get to, you know, to go from 75% to 95%. It has been with me surrounding myself with people that are so authentic and true in who they are. When I tell you that my tribe is probably the most amazing group of individuals that are wholeheartedly authentic to themselves, do things scare them and intimidate them in life? Absolutely. Yeah. But in every situation, I know exactly who's going to show up and how they're going to show up, right? And so there's so much, the word is like comfort in knowing that, and comfort and admiration for those individuals. So that has really been like my inspiration over the last couple of years is, you know what, you can show up exactly who you are. The challenge for me when, you know, if you go back 5 years or so, I didn't know who I was. So I didn't know how to show up. And so it makes sense that I was showing up at 75%. So that's me. How about you? Yeah. How do you think you're showing up in your circle?
Probably, I'm probably about the same. And it's kind of the exact same story. I would say right now, about 95%. I've always been very guarded with things. I've been called stoic. And so my journey to becoming more authentic probably started, I would say, in 2016, like after my divorce was final. I did start sharing more because I very much kept things in compartments. It's like I was this way at home and then I was this way at work, but nobody knew what was going on at home. And at home, nobody knew what was going on at work. And I just had these little compartments because that's how it was safe for me to do that. Yes. And so this whole coming into this space where I'm like going to be authentic, and this kind of goes back for me to our core values. You know, when we talk about, when we identify what our core values are, we go through this activity and you'll identify like what your top core value is. Mm-hmm. Growing up, my top core value was family because I had such great memories of family time, whether it was extended family, grandparents, all of that. Then I'm married and I lost who I was, my identity. Go through my divorce and authenticity became my core value. And so I wanted to become that person that was more authentic to myself. And so I started to share some of my stories. This podcast, I mean, we're getting real authentic.
Exactly.
Sharing all sorts of stuff. Like people, even my family members don't know all of this stuff about me. I mean, I've heard my brothers reached out to me. I'd had an aunt that reached out to me and shared, like, I did not know any of this stuff. And we don't. We show up very much like everything is butterfly and rainbows. But that's not authentic. And so my journey's been about the same as yours. And I feel like I'm probably about a 95%, and it's with my close friends and family, very much like you. But it feels so good to just be able to, it's less energy. Let's put it that way. It's less energy when we can just show up for who we are.
Yeah.
Where I have to be careful is sometimes there are triggers, things that bring me back to where I was like during my marriage, certain personality types or certain situations that happen that will revert me back to that old identity. And so it's a constant effort every day to make sure that I'm showing up for who I am today.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the blessing and the curse in all of this is that you have that choice every single day, right? Like you have the choice, and not even every day, every day, every interaction, every moment, because it can quickly change. Like you said, if you connect with someone and that interaction or the conversation is, there's a trigger within that you start to revert back to, okay, I'm not going to be authentic in who I am. I'm going to shift into this people-pleasing piece, and I'm just going to do everything to make you happy and forget about, not even forget, maybe she's just on the back burner. Now, who I am is going to go on the back burner for right now so that I can service, work towards pleasing whatever it is that you need. Yeah. And that's huge. So this constant progression that we found ourselves on, I think that there are tremendous opportunities for expansion and growth.
Yeah.
I just want to do full asterisk disclaimer, like all of the expansion and growth is not rainbows and daisies, like Pam said. Like it can be hard and disgusting and painful and whatever it
everything.
Is, but beautiful.
All the things, ugly cry, all of those things that we think about.
Exactly.
So that is such a powerful thing.
Absolutely. Well, and I want to touch on the core value piece too, Pam, because you mentioned that your core value is family. And I remember the first time that I went through the core values exercise and my core value was not family. And talk about like the judgment, like that internal dialogue was, how dare you as a mother and a wife not have a core value of family, right? And there was like this guilt and shame, both coupled together. You're a fraud, right? Like, are you truly a mom? Like, what are you doing? Are you truly a wife? Like, why is that not your core value? This is why you exist. Yes. And I always like to say, like, if that's your core value, fabulous, that's wonderful. For me, it was not my core value. And I had to really come to grips with that would have been an easy core value for me to latch on to.
Easy, yes. Claim, yes. Right? Yeah. And most people do. Most people claim that as, it has to be family. Because if it's anything else, then I'm not a good person. Like,
exactly. Yeah, and that was a dialogue that I had. I was like, well, who am I? Like, who am I showing up as a mom and a wife? And what did that look like? Family is still not my core value. I absolutely cherish my family. I have two fabulous daughters. They are amazing. We have great relationships. We talk to each other and we talk together at least once or twice a week. One daughter I talk to every day and she knows who she is. So one of them I talk to every single day. But here's, like, I cherish my family, but that's not my core value. My core value is joy. And that is the joy that I can bring to other people, as well as making sure that everything that I raise my hand and say yes to brings me joy. And so when we, like with yours being authenticity, right? Like knowing that you're going to be authentic in who you are in every situation that you show up in. Yeah. And that kind of sets the expectation for the people that you attract into your life as well. Right?
Yeah, like absolutely.
We're going to leave the BS folks to the side. Like there's not really space for that here.
I love that. Yeah. And I do think that is important for people to understand what their core values are. And I would just, you can go online, do a core value exercise where you're basically circle your top 10 and then narrow it down to your top one. That's an important thing to do. And I want people to understand there's a distinction between core values and your why.
Yes.
Your why is that rocket fuel that kind of gets you out of bed. It's why you do what you do every day. Mm-hmm. And that can be different from your core values. Your core values, like you said, that's who we want to show up as. You want to show up in joy. Yes. I want to show up authentically.
Yes.
Your why is, why do we do this? Like, why are we doing this podcast? Like, why do I show up and do the things that I do? And that's different. And it's so interesting because this is, again, where most people plug in family.
Yes.
And so I was reading a book by Simon Sinek, and it's all about finding your why, starting with why and finding your why. Mm-hmm. And he says in there, and I was like, wait, what? That your family cannot be your core value, or not your core value. Your family cannot be your why. Yeah, and I was like, what? I was like, oh, that doesn't make sense. He goes, your why is why people are attracted to you. Mm-hmm. So my why is to hopefully inspire other people.
Absolutely.
And so that's why people are attracted to you, is because of that why, that thing that you do. You know, I get up every morning because I want to make a difference in people's lives and hopefully inspire them to be better.
Yeah.
So that's what attracts other people to us. So I think there's a distinction between those two. And if you feel like you have to put family down, think about that. Nobody has to see it.
Exactly. And if that's the thing, like, make sure you're honoring that, right? Like if you put it down, and let's just say it truly is, right? You're not putting it down out of a sense of obligation, then you sure as heck better be honoring that, because you're going to continue to feel like things don't line up because you're not living in alignment with what is truly important to you.
Yeah, I think that's a good point to make, because most people don't identify what their core values are.
Yes.
Typically, you want to get it down to your three top core values. And you should be asking yourself every week, am I living in alignment with these core values? Mm-hmm. And if you are not, how do you need to adjust that? And I know you and I see this in our industry, where one of the core values is family.
Yes.
And yet we're answering our phone during dinner with our family.
Exactly. Yes.
We're on our phones during vacation.
Yes.
We're working when our kids are sitting there. So in those moments, you are not in alignment with your core values.
Right.
And that's where we feel overwhelmed. We feel stressed. And it's like, yeah, because you are completely going against what your core values are.
Exactly.
So
you're juggling to keep all the balls in the air, and you've got too many, right? You're not focused on the primary balls that you should be juggling, right?
That's absolutely. So until you know that, okay, these are my core values, and honor them.
Yes.
And when I mean honor them, turn your phone off during dinner. You know, if you're on vacation, have someone cover your business and truly show up and be there for your family if that's one of your core values.
Exactly.
And if your core value is joy, make sure that you're in alignment with that, and you have joy scheduled into your whole week, and that's how you're showing up. And same with authenticity.
Absolutely. Well, and I love the vacation piece, because I have this conversation with a couple of folks, people that I've interacted with, and every time I hear the story, I hear the side of the story that's coming out of frustration when we talk about the vacation piece.
Yes.
Like if family is your core value and you're going on family vacation, a lot of times I hear that one parental figure is on the vacation, but they're kind of doing their own thing, and another parent is actually still in that parental role, right? Of like watching the kids or making sure that there's an itinerary for the day. Like those are the things. Like, if family is your core value, you can't just hop down and have cocktails because we're on vacation and not engage with the family. So those are the things. Like, you could be on vacation and unplug, turn off your phone, get business coverage. But what are you doing when you're there? Are you still plugged in and dialed into your family? Because that's what's truly important to you.
Yeah.
And again, if you're not, and you still start to feel that stress, that burnout, that anxiety, that overwhelm, it's because you're not truly aligning with the things that are truly important with you, to you. So that is a huge, huge piece.
I love it.
We hope you've enjoyed part one of our two-part series on identifying your true identity and resiliency. Looking at your true identity, looking at how you are creating opportunities to expand, grow, and simply just figuring out who you are and how are you showing up in this life. Join us for part two, where we will continue to dive in and take a look at how our true identity plays a role in our resiliency. And we hope to see you soon.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of Reignite Resilience. We hope that you had amazing ahas and takeaways. Remember to subscribe on your favorite streaming platform, like it, and download the upcoming episodes. And if you know anyone in your life that is looking to continue to ignite their resilience, share it with them. We look forward to seeing you on our future episodes. And until then, continue to reignite that fire within your hearts.